हरिः ॐ Next, Maitreya lists the nine divisions of creation. 1. Mahat Tattva. 2. False ego. 3. Sense perceptions. 4. Knowledge and working capacity. 5. The controlling deities. 6. Avidya, or ignorance. These are natural creations of the Lord's external energy. The remaining three creations are Brahma. 7. The immovable entities. 8. The lower species of life. And 9. Human beings. Right, so we're kind of like at the end of the line. But, you know, it's considered the best. So the whole purpose of the creation is for the human being, right? So the human being will take up spiritual life and go back to Godhead. So then it's not a problem that we're last.
So you're the best.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. The first emanation from the Supreme Lord for material creation is called the Mahat Tattva. The interaction of the material modes is the cause of false identification. Right, so you already have in the Mahat Tattva, you're going to have the jivas, the false ego, and the jivas. I already said that. And time.
Time.
Now, that was an interesting thing here, is 5, 6. On the first verse. Okay, here, this one, because this is Prabhupada's purport to verse 2 in chapter 6. The ingredients of matter are counted as 23. The total material energy, false ego, this is on page 26. False ego, sound, touch, form, taste, smell, earth, water, fire, air, sky, eye, ear, nose, tongue, hand, leg, evacuating organ, genital, speech, and mind, all are combined together by the influence of time and are again dissolved in the course of time, right? I'm just bringing up because it was the point of time, right? Mm-hmm. Time, therefore, is the energy of the Lord and acts in her own way by the direction of the Lord. This energy is called Kali and is represented by the dark, destructive goddess, generally worshipped by persons influenced by the mode of darkness or ignorance in the material existence. In the Vedic hymn, Shankya Karika by Ishvara Krishna, the process is described as Mula Prakritir Avikritir Mahajaya Prakriti Vikritya Sapta Shodashakas Tu Vikaro Na Prakritir Na Vikriti Purusha. The energy which acts as material nature in a combination of 23 ingredients is not the final source of creation. The Lord enters into the creation and applies his energy, called Kali. In other Vedic scriptures, the same principle is accepted. So here is that Mula Prakriti. That's used a lot. We don't use the term so much, but if you discuss, you hear other sampradayas discussing, they'll use this term quite often. Because the point is you have the Prakriti, which is these 23 elements, the external energy, but you have Mula Prakriti, who is the personality that manages it. Because it's she's a transformation of Yogamaya. So Mahamaya is a transformation of Yogamaya. Right, so a different office. So the dead matter is not conscious. That's managed by Mahamaya, or in this case, Mula Prakriti. Right. So this Mula Prakriti is that potency that is making it happen. So this is time. So time is eternal, but when it's acting within here, then it acts in material form. When it acts in the spiritual world, it acts in the spiritual form. Right? So it's one thing. You have time, because time is, you have your existence, you have movement. So you have to exist, that's there, then there must be movement. Right? Then there must be experience. So these are all going to be foundational before you start any of this. Then based on this, then you can have the mechanics of action, the mechanics of the forms and all that. Does this make sense? Right. So then when we're discussing that, that's what we're meaning here. So then Kala means the time itself, but this time is actually Kali. Right? Yeah. So it's the destructive force. It's what creates everything, but it's what destroys everything. Because in the spiritual world, there's no creation, destruction. So the time element is not destructive there. It just maintains. There's the feeling of future and past. There's the concept, but it doesn't actually exist.
Can we say when we have time and we add consciousness, we have creation? When we take it away, then destruction happens? Or is that...
But then the only problem is whose consciousness are you talking about here? Yeah. If it's ours, then again we go back to us being the central feature.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It means the material world is here because of us, just like there's a crib because there's a kid.
Yes.
Right? There's diapers because there's a child. But it's not that the child produces the diapers. That would be good.
They produce other stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, he's made a new diaper. What happened to the old one? Don't ask.
He created something else in that one.
Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that because of our mentality, therefore the Lord creates the material world. So it's here because of us. So you can say, why a crib? Oh, there's a child. You know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It's like the person walks through the house, hasn't been for a while, see a crib. Oh, wow. You have a child now. Oh, no, that's for the dog. It always goes and bites everybody. So you understand? So you'll take it as a symptom. But it's not that the child's producing, the Lord is producing. But it's because of us and it's for us, and so therefore it's governed by us. But, how big a crib is it depends on the kid. Right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I say the guy is really big, pants are falling off with a monster chain, tattoos, and he's got a gun put in the back. His crib is quite big. Yes.
So when Mahavishnu glances towards the Rama Devi, injects the time energy, she carries it. Is this how it works? That she carries it and then Mula Prakriti manifests?
Yes, because then that's where the transformation from Rama into Mula Prakriti would happen. Right? Because that's the whole thing, is you have Mahavishnu, there's that potential for working with the material energy. That's the difference between the Purusha avatars and Narayan. Right? Because they have that. In other words, Krishna means, ultimately, of course, Krishna has that, but that's not what's seen, the sweetness in that. But then when you expand Balaram, there's that potential. But you don't see it until you get to the Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu. So therefore, him and Rama Devi then are going to transform into Mula Prakriti and Sada Shiva. Right? So that's why they're not different. You don't want to make that difference on that level. For the same time as you make the difference that Krishna is the original. Right? You know, just like Krishna is the original and Vishnu is his expansion, but you don't make that much difference. Right? It's just a different flavor, different mood. Does that make sense? Yeah. But when you're dealing like with demigods, then you make the distinction. Because they're just empowered in this way.
So with Mula Prakriti and Sadashiva expands himself further as Shiva, does Mula Prakriti make any further expansion?
I would expect as Durga and all that. But the thing is she's running the show, yeah. You know, like that. But he's the basis. In other words, the Prakriti will act, but there must be Purusha. Just like the electricity is doing all the work, but the generator is not running your fridge. The electricity is. But the electricity can only run your fridge when it's connected to the generator. So, in other words, Prakriti can't function unless there's Purusha. So since Krishna doesn't interact directly with Prakriti, therefore as Shiva, he does. Right? So there's that transformation. Right? So then the Mahatattva will have all that in there, but there isn't that consciousness. So when that consciousness comes up, then the false ego comes next. Right? And then you have, then the difficulty we had before is that the controlling deities, they couldn't function because it wouldn't go together. Right? So the Lord has to enter and so that the atoms of nature can combine and then you get things. So that requires time. Right? So when he applies the time element, then you get the next thing. And you apply the time element, you get the next thing. Right? But that time comes with false ego. Because time being the feminine part, it has to come with the masculine, which is false ego. Therefore, then you can either say then the Lord then did the next thing, or false ego was added and did the next, or time was added. You know what I'm saying? Because they're all, the big point, Krishna's doing it by adding time. But time means false ego's there. Because for us, the factual point is false ego. We don't have to worry about time. We have to worry about false ego. We remove the false ego, then time, you know, isn't a problem. Is that... Yeah. Okay. Is that... Okay, the first emanation from the Supreme Lord or material creation is called the Mahatattva. The interaction of the material modes is the cause of false identification, or the sense that a living being is made of material elements, right? So time is the basis of the modes, right? And then those modes active, then you're going to get false identification, right? So that's the second. Or the sense that a living being is made of material elements, right? The false ego is the cause of identifying the body and mind with the soul proper. Right? Material resources and the capacity and knowledge to work are all generated in the second term of creation, after the Mahatattva. Jnana right? Indicates the senses. Right? So in other words, Mahatattva is there, and then you have these others coming first. Because it's the basis. It has everything in it. It's the aggregate of all the elements. But separated, right? Prakriti will be not separated. So therefore, there's the nine divisions of creation. The tenth will be Prakriti, right? But that's not exactly doing anything, right? So you wouldn't call that creation. It's just existing. But as soon as the Lord glances, then you get these nine divisions of creation, right? So Prakriti then transforms into Mahat, right? And then that Mahatattva. Then from there come these other things, false ego, sense of perceptions, knowledge, working capacity, controlling deities, and ignorance. Right, those are all emanations that come naturally. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Prakriti and
predominance. Yes, in this case, prakriti and predominance. But here we're talking about you have the energy is there, but then you have the personality. Because this Mahamaya manages that. She's just another office of Yoga Maya. So in other words, this Vishnu Maya. And then it's the point is it applied within the spiritual or within the material? So is it enlightening or is it covering?
Enlightening. And when you refer to pradhan, it's just
the pradhan, we're just meaning the homogeneous existence of the 24 elements.
Brahma-jyoti?
Huh?
Brahma-jyoti?
It's a kind of Brahma-jyoti. But it's based on the Brahma-jyoti is then what these are manifesting from. Because the point is you have the elements, but the qualities of them are coming from the Brahma-jyoti.
Mm.
You know, so Brahma-jyoti is pervading anyway.
Yeah.
But the point is Prakriti will be one kind of Brahman. The jivas are another kind. The spiritual energy is another kind. And then Krishna is the original source. The Brahman that's the source of the other Brahman.
Para-Brahman.
Yes. Yeah. Like that. Because, when we're conditioned, then we're looking at material and spiritual. But those who are on the liberated platform, they only see spiritual. But there's temporary spiritual, you know, and better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, it's just so... It's just like, let's say, the guy has a hotel, right? Yeah. So this is... It's coming up because once I went with Narsha Prabhu, we went to see the ITC in Delhi because they were doing, they do all kinds of eco stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's a hotel there, looks like a regular hotel, but everything's self-contained, all the water, everything like that. So it's considered in India the best, ecological whatever like that. So it's interesting because you go into a hotel, you walk in, there's the foyer, go to the elevators, go to the rooms, see this and that, the restaurants and all that. And for us, that's the hotel. But because we were being taken around by the manager of the hotel, we went through a door you just don't see. You know, it's one of those doors on the side that looks plain. You don't want to go through it anyway, it's a staff only.
Yeah.
When you go in there, there's the same size as the rest of the hotel that's making the rest of that hotel work. But you go in, there's huge places and where they do the laundry place is like as big as this building, and then they have the kitchens, they have all the different things, the staffs, they got all their water treatment plants, they got their electrical, they got huge electrical things, they got all the solar things, I mean it's big. Right, so you have all this. So for him, it's one place.
Yes.
But you have this nice, glitzy place, and then you have the kind of down-home, more grungy kind of place. Right? So for the Lord's energy, for the Vishnu Maya, it's one thing.
Yes.
For the devotees, it's one thing. There's just the nicer part of it, the spiritual world, and then the less nice part, the material world.
Yes. But it's not the material world that makes the spiritual world run.
Yes. Yeah, that's another thing. But I'm just saying is that, but it's all that's one thing.
Just, yeah,
that it's just that part. That's or let's say you have that how you say tool shed out back, right? You know, it's not insulated. It's you can see through the walls. You know, the door's a little rusty. Doesn't open very good.
It smells like gasoline.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. And whatever you want in there, it's really hard to find.
Yes.
like
it's supposed to be.
Yeah, like that. Mosquitoes. It says really down home. Right? So that would probably maybe a better example. Yeah, because it's all part of the same.
Yeah.
How you say, the man is the lord of his kingdom,
yes.
Right?
King of his castle.
Yeah, his king of his castle. Right. So. Yeah. Jnana indicates the senses, which are sources of knowledge. And they're controlling deities. Work entails working organs, and they're controlling deities. All these are generated in the second creation. The demigods are controlling deities, are entrusted with departmental management of all the different functions of the material world. Right? So you have this false ego. With that, then you get this material resources, capacity of knowledge, the demigods, all these different things. Right? The demigods are controlling deities, are entrusted with departmental management of all the different functions of this material world. For example, one of our sense organs, the eye, is controlled by light. Light is distributed by the sun rays, and the controlling deity is the sun. Similarly, mind is controlled by the moon. All other senses, both for working and for acquiring knowledge, are controlled by the different demigods. The demigods are assistants of the Lord in management of material affairs. After the creation of the demigods, all entities are covered by the darkness of ignorance. Oh, here we go. Yes.
So this is the original demigod.
Yes. Yes. Means, in other words, you're going to have the first glance is going to make the Mahatattva, and then after that you're going to see transformations that you're going to get 2 through 6. Like that.
Prabhupada's referring to those all as the second term of creation?
Yes. Each and every living entity, because the point is they're the same thing. So the demigods are doing the same thing as those primaries. So you can look at it as one or the other, the same,
yes,
the same difference. Because it's whatever's the primary demigod, the expansion is going to do the same. But it can't be, unless that primary is there, how do you create the secondary one? Because Brahma has to work from something. You know, it's like, you know, somebody poses and then you paint. Right? You know, so you have a primeval demigod and then you make from there. Right? Each and every living entity in the material world is conditioned by its mentality of lording it over the resources of material nature. Although a living entity is the master of the material world, he is conditioned by ignorance, by the false impression of being the proprietor of material things. Right? So you have the false ego that you identify with the body, and then there's the ignorance that then, therefore, you deal with everything else, the avidya. The energy of the Lord called avidya is the bewildering factor of the conditioned souls. The material nature is called avidya, or ignorance. But to the devotees of the Lord engaged in pure devotional service, this energy becomes vidya, or pure knowledge. Because then we see, and we see it in connection with the Lord. So that's pure knowledge. You don't see it in the connection with the Lord. That's avidya. The same thing. So it's not the thing itself. So that's why it's a separate thing, because that can go away.
Yes.
But you see that there are those who can see the material world for what it is, but they still maintain the false ego. You know that I'm the controller and enjoyer. Right, so that's why they're two different things, right? Because there was the question of why we already have false ego here, why do we need avidya?
Yes.
Right, because one's the false identity and one's the lack of understanding things as they are. Yes.
So my avidyas, they understand the material nature is not eternal, but then they still maintain false
ego. Yes, yes. Because they still think that they're the Lord and everything. So, you know, I mean, of course, that avidya is still working, but it's on this subtler, more subtle aspect, like that. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. The energy of the Lord transforms from Mahamaya to Yogamaya and appears to pure devotees in her real feature. The material nature therefore appears to function in three phases: as the creative principle of the material world, as ignorance, and as knowledge. Right, because the creative principle is there that you have it, but then there's the ignorance that why you deal with it in the way we deal. Mm-hmm. But then also, as a devotee, then she acts as knowledge. So then the material nature of the material world, then using the knowledge, you go back to Godhead. But using the material nature and ignorance, then you stay. Right? As disclosed in the previous verse, in the fourth creation, the power of knowledge is also created. The conditioned souls are not originally fools, but by the influence of the avidya function of material nature, they are made fools, and thus they are unable to realize knowledge in the proper channel. So then here, because he's going through and he's saying in the fourth creation, so here when he says in the second creation, then it would include all those things that he mentioned. Where do you say that? Second term. Okay. The interaction of the material modes is the cause of false identification, or the sense that a living being is made of material elements. The first paragraph.
Yeah.
This false ego is the cause of identifying the body and the mind with the soul proper. Right? Material resources and the capacity and knowledge to work, all generated in the second term of creation. So that's all the false, because otherwise false ego, if you don't have the resources, capacity, and knowledge, what's there to be false ego about?
Yes.
Right? You know, because I'm good at this, or I can do that, or, you know, that's where it comes from.
If you can't do anything, you can't really have a false identity about it.
No, it's really hard to have a false identity when you know. Yeah, because in that case you could say a loser, that's not false ego, that's real ego. That's why they feel so bad, because everybody else is in ignorance and they're actually in knowledge, so that they don't fit in, right? You know, but we're thinking it's the other way around.
So that was the.
So this is the second term after Mahatattva. So this is the second one here, false ego.
Yeah.
So there's, in other words, the Acharya here is revealing that there's much more going on in here.
Yes.
So what that false ego means. So that false ego means it's the cause of identifying, okay, the sense of living entities made of the material elements. Yeah. So material resources and the capacity and knowledge to work, right? To work are all generated in the second term. But then that will be manifest, you can see now what we're discussing in the fourth term. Right, so then you get the difference between what does it mean here, knowledge and working capacity here in the fourth, than what it's talking about in the second. Right?
Where does the third term start? Is that from Avijja? We've seen the controlling deities are like subtle.
Jnana indicates the senses, which are sources of knowledge, and they're controlling deities. Because you have all these different aspects, but it appears that they all kind of happen at the same time.
Yes.
Right? But it's just that one creates the next. Because the one is there, then you have the basis for the next, so you have to make the connection. Difficulty is we're trained in box with arrow diagrams.
Yes.
Well, this is that they're happening, one's happening, the next is coming. So that's the difficulty we'll have with working with.
We're basically looking at different aspects of the same thing.
Same thing, But it's just which one's prominent at the time, therefore you call it by. Okay. As disclosed in the previous verse, in the fourth creation, the power of knowledge is also created. Okay. Okay, so there's in the previous... Oh, no, previous verse means the verse before this, not the previous paragraph. Fork is also... previous verse was... Okay. Nine kinds of creations besides... Oh, but that's this one? No, this is... Yeah, this is a previous one. Unless that means... No, because it's 15 to 17. Oh, so this is a summary. Okay, so then is this what he's talking about here in 14, or is within this 15 to 17?
Yes, it's 16.
It's 16. Okay, so we don't... Okay. Okay. As is... Okay. The conditioned souls are not originally fools, but by the influence of avidya, function of material nature, they are made fools. Thus they are unable to utilize knowledge in the proper channel. By the influence of darkness, the conditioned soul forgets its relationship with the Supreme Lord and is overwhelmed by attachment, hatred, pride, ignorance, and false identification. The five kinds of illusion that cause material bondage, right? So when Brahma starts his creation, these are the first ones he creates. Because otherwise, how are you going to function?
Yes.
In the material, unless you have these. So that's the first thing that he creates.
Can we call them primary of the secondary creation?
They're just, they're kind of fundamental.
Yeah,
they're generic. But I mean, everything that you have, because the point is, even if you create human beings, that's human beings as a class.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have individual human beings.
And the modes will take care of the individual.
So you always have that principle on which something is based. So there's the principle of is the principle of everything in the material world, then there's the manifestation.
Those attachment agents, right? Where they fit in the nine divisions of greed?
They're what Brahma does when he...
The last three?
Yes, but he does this before he starts. So they'll just be, by the looks of it, extensions of avidya. You know, in other words, avidya is there, now avidya will manifest, you know, so that we can appreciate it. Right? You know, we don't have to worry that attachment, hatred, pride, ignorance is theoretical or, you know, too esoteric. You know, it's good down to earth, we can, you know, sink our teeth into it, right?
Is it some in these five kind of illusion? So they are connected with each other.
Basically, because if there's attachment, then if it doesn't work out the way you want it, then you're going to have hatred.
Yes.
Right, because you hate that which gets in the way of your attachment.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then when things do work right, you get proud. Mm-hmm. You know, all these. So this is not necessarily, I think, I'm not sure, because it gives an order there. Anger after frustration,
yes.
You know, these different things that he creates. There he gives an order, yes.
Are these English words synonymous with the tamishra, under tamishra, moha?
Because
Brahma created them first.
Yes. Like that. But it's just, you know, put into, because each one of them, being that they're pervading everything, these five, then they have different aspects. Mm. You know, because anger after frustration, why are you angry? You don't like what you're angry at. You know what I'm saying? So therefore they'll get, you know. Because if there's, does that make sense? Yeah. 17 purport. Maitreya then starts to explain the secondary creation. Now hear from me about the creations of Brahma, who is an incarnation of the mode of passion, and who, in the manner of creation, has a brain like that of the personality of Godhead. 18. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in his purport, right? Because we've already heard about these divisions of the creation before, but we've never heard of, we haven't heard them divided in this way. We just know all those elements are there, but that they have this nice format like this, because the question was different. You're answering the question.
Yes.
These six, Mahatattva, false ego, sense perceptions, knowledge and working capacity, the controlling deities and avidya or ignorance, were generated from Maya Shakti. They are called Prakrita. He now describes the secondary creations, Vaikritan, arising from Brahma, the form of Brahma, representing all the universal elements. Samasti Virat. Brahma has the Supreme Lord in his intelligence, Medasa. Right, so this is the Prakrita and Vaikritan, or Prakriti and Vaikriti. So it's Prakriti means the primary, and Vaikriti means the secondary. Does that make sense? So the Vaikriti or Vaikritan, that's Brahma's creation.
Yes.
And the Prakritan, that is Krishna's creation. That's carried out by Maya Shakti.
Yes.
So Medasa means when you have the Lord in your intelligence. So you're supposed to, if the Lord is situated in the intelligence, then you make intelligent decisions. Right? Because otherwise we can use the intelligence, but we'll come up with all kinds of strange and wonderful things. Right? You know, like that. The seventh creation is that of the immovable entities, which are of six kinds. The fruit trees without flowers, trees and plants which exist until the fruit is ripe. You know, like, how you say, rice, or grains. The plant is alive until the grain is ripe. When it's ripe, the plant dies. So you don't actually kill the rice. It's already dead. When the rice is ready, the plant is already left.
That's good to know. Karma-free.
Yeah, so it's karma-free, yeah. Good to know, right?
Too bad it's Ekadashi. Too bad it's Ekadashi.
Yes. You have to leave your appreciation, but it'll be double tomorrow. That's why it's Dwadasi. Double appreciation.
Go for it.
Okay. Creepers, pipe plants, creepers which have no support, and trees with flowers and fruits. Right, so this is actually how you should categorize the botany. But if they did like this, it would make more sense. If they don't, you start with this, then they can divide it up into their different ways they like. But that's the thing, is the Vedic gives actually how everything's classified. Yes.
In the Vedic, is it tomato, a fruit, or a vegetable?
Oh, here it's just saying fruit. So a vegetable is a fruit in that way. It means whatever is the whatever produce produces. Like that. Yeah. In Bengali, it's called in Bengali, it's called begu, which means no qualities, without qualities. But they love it, you know. Begun means without qualities.
Eggplant.
Yeah, doesn't mean it's transcendental. It just means it's in other words, if you're healthy, then you eat eggplant cooked properly, it's good. But if you're not healthy, then you don't want to eat it. All the immovable trees and plants seek their subsistence upwards. They are almost unconscious, but have feelings of pain within, right? So you're hoping that the unconscious will get rid of the pain, but, you know, they're unconscious, except but still feel the pain.
Except for
that. Yeah. They are manifested in variegatedness. The eighth creation is that of the lower species of life, and they are of different varieties, numbering 28. So that's another thing. Then there's 28 categories of all the movable species. They are extensively foolish and ignorant. They know their desirables by smell, but are unable to remember anything within the heart. Right, so it's just a matter of just reflex and stuff. So the Lord... Right, so smell is how they figure out everything. So that's why I was once, I don't remember who it was, but Prabhupada asked what was in the pot. Because there were so many preparations in the pot, you know, they cooked for like, you know, a festival or that, and they would put them all in the clay pots and offer to the deities. So he asked the devotee, what is it? So he picked it up and smelled it. And Prabhupada said, smelling's for animals. He said, humans look and see what it is. You know, it was kind of like, how do you look and see? You know, because I guess for a Westerner, Bengali subjects are all the same, right? You know?
There was for the 40th anniversary of Bhaktivedanta Manor, one devotee had compiled like a little movie of Prabhupada in England, and the voiceover was telling how Prabhupada, you could just look at a dish and then tell if it was prepared properly or if it was tasty and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And at that moment when he said that, there was a clip of Prabhupada. He looked at something, he took it, and then he left it. I don't know if it was deliberate, but it was just funny.
That's fair. Yeah, so Prabhupada expected the devotees would learn that. Because it's mentioned even in the Shraddha ceremony, because it's all very strict rules. You can't smell anything. If you smell it, then it's ruined, the offering. Or you shake it. Sometimes also, that's the next thing. If you can't do that, you shake it a bit trying to see what's there.
What's going on?
You can't shake it either. Right? Like that. You just have to, you can't carry it with one hand. Mm. You know, because with one hand you might drop it. You have to carry it with two. One is that, but it's also respectful.
Yeah.
You know, so there's all these different things that are there. So that makes human life. Yeah. Well, the animals just smell it. Srila Prabhupada comments in his purport to verse 21. In the Vedas, the symptoms of the lower animals are described as follows. Lower animals have knowledge only of their hunger and thirst. They have no acquired knowledge, no vision. Their behavior exhibits no dependence on formalities. Extensively ignorant, they can know their desirables only by smell. And by such intelligence only can they understand what is favorable and unfavorable. Right? You know, if you're sitting there and a pleasant breeze comes and it smells like a lion, that's called unfavorable. Yeah. Their knowledge is concerned only with eating and sleeping, right? Because that's the only knowledge that they worry about. They don't worry because they have no vision, so they don't think about, yeah, well, create a whole, you know, community. You know, they don't. Therefore, even the most ferocious lower animals, such as tigers, can be tamed simply by regularly supplying meals and accommodations for sleeping. Only snakes cannot be tamed by such an arrangement. So, therefore, you should reconsider about the python as a pet. Because they don't really seem to worry about that. But others can. Maitreya continues. The creation of the human beings who are of one species only and who stock their edibles in the belly is the ninth in the rotation. In the human race, the mode of passion is very prominent. Humans are always busy in the midst of miserable life, but they think themselves happy in all respects. Busy in the midst of miserable life, but they think themselves happy in all respects. That's the definition. 22 to 26. In his purport, Srila Prabhupada elaborates on human nature. The human being is more passionate than the animals, and thus the sex life of the human being is more irregular. The animals have their due time for sexual intercourse, but the human being has no regular time for such activities. The human being is endowed with a higher advanced stage of consciousness for getting relief from the existence of material miseries, but due to his ignorance, he thinks that his higher consciousness is meant for advancing in the material comforts of life. Thus, his intelligence is misused in the animal propensities, eating, sleeping, defending, and mating, instead of spiritual realization. By advancing material comforts, the human being puts himself into a more miserable condition. But, illusioned by the material energy, he always thinks himself happy, even whilst in the midst of misery, right? Could be worse.
Exactly. I'm okay.
Yeah. Such misery of human life is distinct from the natural, comfortable life enjoyed even by the animals.
Yes.
Right? So even the animals just have a natural, comfortable life. Like that. Yes.
At least the animals, they don't work.
Yeah, they don't have to work. You just have to go.
We're the only ones who pay to stay here.
Yeah, it means people like eating, but they get to eat all day, right? You just go out and chew on grass all day. You know, so it's
And they're not so much sick.
No.
They know how to.
Yeah, they're general. Yeah. So it's arranged nicely for them. And so then Krishna takes care. But so the human being has the higher consciousness, but instead of using it for developing human life for spiritual upliftment, then they use it for all these pranamoya activities of trying to improve the human society, right? By cooperating together, then you can improve the quality of arts and sciences and sense gratification, economics, the facility, all these different things like that. So that's the sad part. And in doing that, they claim that they're better than the animals and exploit the animals because of this, but still, they're only interested in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Right? So that's the whole thing. There is no other end to their purpose. Right? Yes?
In the previous paragraph, the creation of human beings who are of one species, aren't there 400,000 human species?
But it means that they'll all have these characteristics. Right, it won't be so different like the animals. That will be very different. Their experience, how they do things, will be different. But human, the 400,000, those are subsets. But there'll be one thing. They'll all have these aspects. Is that?
Mark?
Yes.
The animals have their sex life regulated. The animals, they have their sex life regulated. Because human beings have greater facility of reasoning capacity. The animals have their eating automatically supplied, whereas the human beings are having to think about it and make some arrangement. That goes side or hand in hand with having that extra intelligence, that responsibility.
means one doesn't have to. One could also subsist off of, you know, the sages in the forest. It's not that they have to work. You just go out and collect them. It's just like the animals have to go out. The animal has to go and chew on the grass. But the grass doesn't just, you know, the morning comes up and that, the sun just, you know, gets out of the ground, walks over where the cow is, you know, the grass is down there tickling his feet, you know, like that while he's laying down. He says, are you going to make me come all the way up there, you know, like that, you know, it's like, I'm gonna bend your head over, come on, you know, let's have some cooperation here, you know, I've walked from all the way over there and you can't even bend down, you know, so, you know, so there's that element that they are, you don't have to, because there is sufficient. It means in the Satya Yuga, you don't have to plow the fields, because the grains grow on their own, right? And then, from growing, what you require, you take. But because there's so much, there's such abundance, then naturally in the process of taking, that drops on the ground. And then from dropping on the ground, they'll grow again. Right? The trees, they just give fruit regularly. The roots are just growing. Everything grows because people just take what they need. That's what it says. You know, like Prabhupada gives an example. There's a sack of rice. The birds come and take a little bit. This one comes. That one comes. The man comes and just picks up the whole sack and walks off of it. So that's the difficulty. So in Satya Yuga, then they wouldn't worry about these things. So you don't have to work. But as you drop off one quarter of religion, then naturally then you have to add in this principle of the varnashram and therefore the occupation. Right? Because then you have to till the fields from that.
So could we say that the principle that the human beings have is the principle that the human beings have above and beyond the animals is that mood of compassion, they can consider others.
They can consider others, that's there, but its main thing is the higher consciousness. Because if you have higher consciousness, then there'll be compassion, because then you see what somebody's doing, their efforts, everything like that. Because how do you have compassion unless you are able to appreciate the other individual and their efforts, you know, or their situations, right? So, in other words, you can see the sambandha and abhideya aspects of it, or what they desire, what they need. You can understand other living entities, while the animals basically just deal with themselves. You know, it means, you know, it's more comfortable being around your own species than another one, because you know kind of what they'll do. You know, you don't necessarily know what a hippopotamus will do or something. You know?
You don't want to know.
Yeah. So you stick with your own species.
It appears that lower species, their intelligence is undeveloped, so they can desire actually beyond their karma or whatever instinct they have. But human beings in trouble because of their desire, what they can't get. Well, they can get it, but there's the bill comes then later.
Yes, yes. So, are you suggesting lobotomies? Or?
No, it's just
yes, that's the thing, is that the human being has choice, the animal doesn't. The animal is, according to their karma, put into the particular situation, they will act perfectly just within that. They won't do anything outside, because like I said, they have no vision. So if you have no vision, you can't come up with something weird. So animals only burn off results of activities. They don't generate anything
right.
New. But human beings, because of that concept, they can't. So that because they have that further response, but they have that choice whether they want to use it for upliftment or again become an animal. So as we look around, seeing that the species of lives other than humans is quite voluminous, then we know what is the general decision. Yes, so that's true. That's it.
So this level, it's actually a difficult level of living, because beyond, in heaven, they don't create any karma. And then lower species, they don't create. But here, the human species, then we have a choice, but usually we misuse it.
Yes, yes. So that's why there's always a recommend to use it properly. You know, but we rebel, you know, because we We think it's our position to do things as we like. Because the thing is that one is trying to have relationships, make endeavors that will make one happy, then that's the natural position of the living entity, but only in the spiritual world. Here, it doesn't actually get real benefit for the soul. So unless it's connected to the Lord, then you get the benefit, because that's the thing, the spiritual world always connected to the Lord. Well, here, like you were pointing out, we can have the choice whether we want to connect it to the Lord or not. That's the real decision. And then if we want to connect to the Lord, then you have, you know, the devotional process. If you don't want to connect to the Lord, then we can either follow, you know, Shastra and be pious, or not follow and just do whatever we, you know, can get away with, basically. Yes.
You say Sandini, Sambit, Ladini. Where does time fit in?
Sambit, Sandini, Ladini. Yeah. Because time doesn't really fit there, but it means from that position, then you get past, present, future.
Okay. Right. Okay. So different aspects of time fit in different.
Yes, but it's not that they're necessarily coming from there.
No. Okay. Yes.
But you have the principles there.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, you'd be more kriya, jnana, and icha. Because the thing is the jnana in the spiritual world is uplifting, but the lack of it here, that's what creates the ignorance. So here, jnana creates our entanglement. You know, because it's avidya.
Yes.
But for the devotee, it works as vidya. You know, the kriya would be passion, and then your icha would be goodness. But that's goodness because it's connected to the Lord. So that's what we're supposed to do. Here we work on our own desires, but they're not connected to the Lord, so they just give us trouble.
So that means material icha is
a problem.
Yes, a problem. Is it mode of ignorance, or is it
everything here is mode of ignorance. It's within mode of ignorance, then we have good and passion.
but within mode of ignorance, then icha would still be the mode of goodness in material sense.
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm saying, but as you get down into ignorance, you see is they don't really have desire.
Yes.
They have an interest in eating, sleeping, and mating and defending. That's all.
Yes.
They have no acquired knowledge, no vision.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You know, their behavior exhibits no dependence on formalities.
Yes.
You put out some food, they come, knock you over, eat the food.
Yes.
Right? There's no formalities there.
Then
in fact, before you even get in the pen, they've already knocked you over and they're eating it out of the bucket. Right?
You know, so. You're happy if they don't eat you.
Yes, yeah, or don't step on you or something.
Yes.
There's an ISKCON video, I think it's from the 80s, where they're interviewing different people talking about reincarnation. And a lot of people said that they want to come back as specific animals.
Yes.
Yes.
The idea of coming back as an animal was the most popular thing.
Yeah, no, they think it's quite glorious, you know, because nature's nice, the animals are nice, you know.
Not the responsibilities of human life.
Yes. Yeah, but they don't have to worry. For that group, it's pretty much guaranteed. You know. I mean, for them, actually being an animal is probably pretty good. Most of them probably end up as trees, right? You know? Because to be an animal, you have to wear clothes, right? To be a tree, you don't have to wear clothes, so, yeah.
That was interesting.
Yeah, no, they quite think it's quite good.
And I think the second most common was, I want to come back to myself.
That's a great guy. Come back as myself. He says, don't worry, you will. After Creamy Bojan and a few animal species, you come back as yourself. As far as... Yes?
It also seems that there are better opportunities for sense enjoyment in the animal life because they don't have a choice but to follow their nature. Whereas human beings, they try to get sense enjoyment, and not understanding the nature of that sense enjoyment.
Yes, I mean, on one level it is. Just say, such misery of human life is distinct from the natural, comfortable life enjoyed even by the animals. like that. So if you live the natural, comfortable life of what a human being is supposed to be, then it's nice. But very few want to do that. You know?
I'd say it's similar to the discussion earlier that the Paramahamsas and the Muddhas are pretty happy, but those in between are suffering.
They have the problem, yeah. Because the Muddha is almost like an animal.
Yeah.
So the closer you get to there, then, you know. O Vidura, these last three creations in the creation of demigods, the tenth creation. Well, that was before, so now he's making the tenth. So Prakriti is before.
And so,
no. So here's the, this is the tenth. Yes. Then the demigods. Because they have to control everything. The tenth creation, Arvaikrita creations, which are different from the previously described Prakriti. Natural creations. The appearance of the Kumaras is both. Because they're both from that primary aspect and from the secondary. Because they're representing the Lord. Right? They're an incarnation of the Lord. They're actually the first.
Which is the same person. First creation and second creation. For the Kumara.
They're somehow or another both, because they're partially of this creation, they're partially of that.
They're Jivas, but they're empowered.
You get the idea, not necessarily, but they may be. But Sanat Kumar may not be a Jiva, because he's Prajumna. So whether he's empowered with that potential of Prajumna, like that, but there's a difference made between that original Cupid and then the demigod Cupid, because the demigod Cupid is a jiva, but then Prajumna as Cupid is not. So then, you know, depending upon the pastime, you deal with one or the other. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his purport gives clarification on the creation of the demigods. These three are secondary creations. The creation of the Devatas is also secondary, but they are also part of the primary creation. Who are they? Right, so it seems that's why they're mentioned, you know, last and in their own category.
Yeah.
The creation of Devatas from Ahankara and Sattva by Kartika was described in the creation originating from Prakriti. These Devatas are therefore classified as Prakriti. Right, that's in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.10.17. A creation of Devatas also occurs in the creation made by Brahma later, called Vaikrita, or secondary, listed in the next verse. Creation of the Kumaras is both Prakrita and Vaikrita. Seeing the sinful nature of this creation, Brahma was not satisfied with himself. He again carried out creation by a mind purified with meditation on the Lord, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.12.3. They are said to be both Prakriti and Vaikrita because, by Brahma's meditation on the Lord, they are generated both by Brahma, Vaikrita, and the Lord, Prakriti. Right? So here he meditated on the Lord. The other is that he just kept the Lord in his intelligence so that he could apply the creation.
Are we talking about the primary demigods or the secondary?
He's talking about both here.
Because
he's saying is that the creation of demigods from Ahankara in Sattva, Vaikartika, was described in the creation originating from Prakriti, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.10.17. These Devatas are therefore classified as Prakriti. It means that they're in the primary creation. Right? A creation of Devatas also occurs in the creation made by Brahma later, called Vaikrita, or secondary, listed in the next verse. Right, so 3.10, oh, this is, there will be in here? No, it won't be in this one. This is a 3.10. Verse 15, 16, 15, 10 to 14.
It's on page 89, just a few pages.
Oh, 310. Third chapter, 10th verse. Okay.
No, what I was asking is, like, I'm run throwing stuff.
Because the Mahatattva is predominantly sattva, but there's the passionate element of the desire of the living entities to enjoy, and there's the tamasic element, which means that they are the, you know, they have that idea that they identify with the material energy. So produced from that aspect of the sattva, from ahankara in sattva, so that means it has to be in the first creation, the primary. Yeah. Then you get these demigods.
Right? Mahatattva is not also in primary.
Mahatattva is primary. So means in here, when we were on the page before, when we're giving the list, so in the second part there, in the false ego, right? So within that, that means you have Mahatattva, you have the false ego aspect, then these controlling deities are created. Right? Then you have the Lord Brahma, he makes the immovable entities, the lower species, the humans, and then finally the demigods. Yeah. Like that. Because those he's created there as the principle, but then you need the demigods to make it happen. Right? So the demigods then have to create all the living entities. So then you'll start with the Prajapatis, and then...
We call the first term and second term. Mahatattva was the first term, and the false ego was the second term. And
but that's the false ego within Mahatattva. So, in other words, all this is Mahatattva.
Yeah, okay.
But these are aspects happening within that. Okay. So this, could also say, this is the universal form.
Yes.
You know, all these, just depending on which aspect you want to look at, then you're talking about creation, this is how they do. So that's why there's more happening in this false ego. That's what Prabhupada is talking about. Material resources and the capacity and knowledge to work are all generated in the second term of creation. So that means the resources, capacity, and knowledge to work are all based on false ego. Yes. So that means the demigods to control that are also based on false ego.
Yes.
So that's the difficulty.
So. Whereas there's potential for confusion here with the use of the term vaikarika because of its similarity to vaikarika.
Yeah. So it must be that there's, whatever's the roots of that, then there's something that is common between both.
The Vaikarika was a specific transformation of the Hunter.
Seems to be.
Yeah. Vaikarika, Dhyana Sama, Dhamma
Sama. Oh, okay, yes. So that's the Bodhipassana.
Yes.
Three false egos.
Vaikarika was the goodness.
Yes.
Okay, Vaikarika was the
goodness.
Dhyana Sama. Oh, Dhyana is that, and then Dhamma Sama is that. Okay. Does that make sense? So in Mahatattva, there is the... It means you have the false ego aspect. But within that, that's all happening within the sattva, vaikarika.
Yes.
Yeah. That makes sense? Yes. It's all happening at once. It's just like this. Let's say you have a cauliflower, potato, peas, and cheese sabji. Right? It's got a nice sauce. It has coriander in it. It has... You know, there's some chilies there, there's, you know, how you say, some garam masala and all that. It's all one thing. But you can tell what is cauliflower, what is potato, what is cheese. Yeah. Like that. Unfortunately, we don't always can tell what is the chili until we eat it. Like that. So it takes a little training to be able to identify that. Because we're too busy looking at the cauliflowers and the pieces of cheese and we miss out. So it's all within that. So it's just a matter of what you're bringing out. You can call it a sabji, but you could also call it a cauliflower sabji, but it doesn't mean it doesn't have anything else in it. You know? And then because it's subject, we could say it's a dalna, because it has the garam masala, it has the sauce. So it's a dalna, whether it's a cauliflower subject or not. You know what I'm saying? Like that. And it's a paneer subject, but That could be with potato, without potato, you know, with cauliflower, without, you know, you understand? So does that make sense? So that's what's happening, is that we're saying, no, but what about, no, it's all those things. Yeah, and it's just a matter of, then they all happen at once. Okay, so this is the false ego in goodness is Vaikartika. Okay, so that means those three are already established.
That's proper declaration.
Okay, and then so that's three out of the four. And then the fourth one? I'm not sure if there's four false egos. Oh, no, that's before that, excuse me. That's the I'm the control and the joy.
What was the false ego in Tashin and Nipnis? I didn't catch that.
You didn't catch all this.
No.
This is all the, how you say, it's all discussed in Manu, but you don't catch all those technical things.
Yeah.
What he's saying is that in the creation, you have three kinds of ego. Ego in goodness, ego in passion, ego in ignorance. Right? So that false ego in goodness, that's called Vaikartika.
Yes.
False ego in passion is called Tejasa, right? Because it has the energy.
Uh-huh.
And false ego in ignorance is called Tamasa.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Right? So that's all the false ego, because the primary creation is basically in goodness.
Yes.
Right? But at the same time as these other aspects are there.
Yes.
Otherwise, the modes of nature are functioning. That's what makes the Mahatattva different from Prakriti.
Yes.
Okay, so then in this case we say Prakriti is not a creation, it's eternal.
Yes.
So it'll always be there. And then creation means then the transformation of that.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And now it's the fourth type of false egos. I am the creator, I am the controller.
So that's what starts it. That's why, because to have these other three, you have to be within the material sphere.
Yes.
But we get that mentality while still in the spiritual world.
Yes.
Right? So that you can have there. But if having that, you can't remain there. Because how do you express it? Because the spiritual world is meant to serve the Lord. Right, so therefore you'll just stay doing your little thing, what you do, and then when the pastime winds up, you'll come to the material world. Right, you won't get involved. Right, you won't. So therefore, there's minimal that's going to be upset with you. You know, you only have your house and your cow dung patties and these things to get upset. Right, but you don't actually aren't dealing with, you know, Radha and Krishna and all the associates, so then you miss out on that. So that's the first one. So you're already in material consciousness, but you don't have the facility. So to generate that, then there has to be the gross and subtle body. So here's then the subtle aspect is made, and then Brahma will make the gross body. Is that okay?
Yes.
So thank you, Dennis. Okay, they are said to be both Prakrita and Vaikrita, because by Brahma's meditation on the Lord, they are generated both by Brahma, Vaikrita, and the Lord, Prakrita. So he's meditating on the Lord, and then by that, the Lord, he's generating, and the Lord is generating. So they're both. Maitreya.
Sure. Seeing the sinful nature of this creation, Brahma was not satisfied, and then he prayed again. By mind purified with meditation. What is this talking about? It's here.
We
just read it.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying, means what's the creation before, or what's this one?
We just spoke about primary, secondary. Secondary is by Brahma.
So he's not very satisfied with what has been done there. So now he's starting again. And then you get four Kumaras. And then from that, them asking them to, you know, then fill the universe, then they say no, because they're absorbed in Vasudeva. So then he gets angry, but because he is who he is, he tries to control his anger, but then that comes out as Shiva. And then he asks him to, you know, make things happen, and he does. But then the problem is his descendants they have a slightly destructive tendency. So then he says, it's okay. You don't have to do this. You just sit under a tree. So that means all this has been created before, so he wasn't satisfied with that.
But what was before? Hatred?
Well, that, of course, is there. But then everything else.
Before Kumaras.
Before Kumaras, yes. After hatred, before Kumaras.
So what was there?
That was when he goes in and makes everything happen.
So he created everything, and then he...
Yes, but then it has to then happen.
Then?
Then that's when the Prajapati is coming.
So in a way, he was not satisfied.
In two chapters' time, it mentions that it creates the five types of nescient engagements.
So that's what he's saying.
Okay,
so it's those five engagements.
So we didn't discuss it yet. That's my
chapter 12.
No, it's chapter 12.
The Pure's not. Okay. Okay. The creation of the demigods are of eight varieties. 1. The demigods. 2. The forefathers. 3. The asuras or demons. 4. The gandharvas and apsaras or angels. 5. The yakshas and rakshasas. 6. The siddhas, charnas and vidyadharas. 7. The bhutas, pretas and paisachas. And 8. The superhuman beings, celestial singers, etc. All are created by Brahma, the creator of the universe. 28 and 29. Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport the verse 29. As explained in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the siddhas are inhabitants of Siddha Loka, where the residents travel in space without vehicles. At their mere will, they can pass from one planet to another without difficulty. Therefore, in the upper planets, the inhabitants are far superior to the inhabitants of this planet in all matters of art, culture, and science, since they possess brains superior to those of human beings. The spirits and jinn mentioned in this connection are also counted among the demigods because they are able to perform uncommon functions not possible for men. Yes?
Yes.
Good?
Yes.
The singers.
The jinns are the ones you get in the lamps. Yeah.
The singers.
It seems that there's different kinds of Gandharvas and singers. Because you also have the musicians, you have all these different things. So, because you have Gandharvas, you have Brahma Gandharvas, mm-hmm. So what they're talking about here.
It says, Maharaj, the forefathers are created.
The forefathers, yes.
The pitchers, it's just like a...
It means there are groups. Yeah, they have groups that are headed by different personalities. So the Kshatriyas have their forefathers, this one has theirs. Mano was mentioned in all. Maybe we dropped all that.
Okay.
Yeah, it was one of those. Because there's a huge amount, means that whole chapter, one chapter basically we dropped. We only kept the things that were kind of that relate to us on serving Prashad. that was a whole trip. let alone that it's a huge chapter. It's one of the bigger chapters, and so in there it describes because every group has their forefathers, and they have their names and everything, just like the Sadhyas and like this. So like the Yakshas, then there's a leader of the Yakshas. That'll be Kubera, right? So everybody has their leaders. So there's all kinds of finer details. But these are the general categories. So then in that would mean of the 400,000, it means the ones that are not demigods. When it says humans. That was there. After describing the 10 creations, Maitreya offers to describe the descendants of Manu. Srila Prabhupada concludes the chapter in his purport to verse 30. The cosmic manifestation is an expansion of one of the many energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Creator and the Created are both emanations of the same Supreme Truth. As stated in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Janmadyasyayataha, Srimad Bhagavatam 111. Right, so Brahma and what's created, they all come from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the important thing to know. If at the end of the day you forget everything about this, if you can remember that, then you've actually learned the point. Yeah. Yes.
The first seed slope of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am the source of both the spiritual and the material world.
Yes.
So he's
beyond. Though it's not, now that he's, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. A prophet says he's beyond spiritual. Uh-huh. The spiritual is coming from him. So then, because sometimes semantics, no, but he is spiritual. How can you, you know, so it sometimes gets into it. So it's not something you necessarily bring up often. Mm-hmm. Like that. In other words, the things that you see Prabhupada repeating regularly, that's standard discussion. Things that he mentions once, it comes up where it's necessary, otherwise it's not used regularly.
There's one thing that it's a question I had for many years, is the jiva actually able to manipulate matter? Like you said,
manipulate matter. What do you mean by manipulate matter?
Like if I want to move my hands, then it's actually not me being able to do it, because it's tired, and then,
yes,
then it's done by a fair nature. So then my question is, like, the demigods here, they're also jivas.
Right.
But Brahma is also jiva. So is he actually able to manipulate matter in the way I am not?
Means it's still by the Lord's potency that's going on, so the modes of nature, time, is still making things happen. Right? It's just that he can be involved in what we would consider more mystical aspects, because he has the piety. You know, it's just like within what you can do with your hands, you know, there's somebody who can't even pick up a glass of water without knocking it over, while other people can sit there and make a watch that's got, you know, hundreds of complications, right? So it's just a matter of by piety, then you have your skills. So it's you can desire within that and get results. So it's just a matter of what area you can desire within and get your results, and what you can't. This depends on your piety. Does that make sense? Do you want the jiva to do it? Or?
No, my question is, who is actually the doing
it? Well, that's the point. It ultimately comes down to it's the super soul. He's doing. Right? He does because it's his energy that's doing it. But with his sanction. So his energy is doing everything. Right? So Prakriti is doing everything. But he sanctions what will be done and what's not to be done. Right? So, in general things, then Prakriti knows what to do. Right? You know, standard stuff. You know, you drop a glass, it breaks on the floor. You know, it's not that she has to ask, does this one break? You know, like that. You know, it's like, does that make sense? But the point is it's still on Krishna's authority, it's happening. But with devotees, then Krishna gets involved personally. But it's still carried out by material nature. So you see, if Krishna himself is personally involved, you know, in a manifest way, like the Pandavas, that's special. Does that make sense? Right, you hear of other devotees, great devotees, who are going out and driving their chariots and defeating the demons, like that, but you don't see Krishna driving the chariot. You know, but with Arjuna, you see that. So the Pandavas are special in that way. Krishna comes and personally does all that. So, see, is ultimately these things don't matter. What matters is the perception in relationship. But how it's being carried out, that's not actually important. We only get into these details because we think we're the one doing everything. So when we get into this, we understand not only we're not doing anything, we can't even understand how it's going on. Right? So that's the whole point, right? So it's not about that all these technical things have that importance on their own. Is they're important because they're connected to the Lord. So you see, the Lord is involved in everything. So that's what's important. So then that relationship to the Lord can be cultivated because you know the Lord is involved. The Lord's doing everything. Is that some reason? Okay. Yeah, so it's not important whether we're doing it or not. Because here, the point is the soul is not matter, so, and the two have nothing to do with each other. So then it's not important if the soul can manipulate matter. Because manipulation of matter is not what the soul is supposed to be doing anyway. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's not like a really stupid example. It's not important to know whether or not the guy, you know, at the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, if he manufactured his own chainsaws. Does that make sense? Right. It doesn't change the bearing on whether he's supposed to be doing that or not. Does that make sense? Yeah. Is that, I mean, you know, it's like the guy hits somebody over the head. Did he make the baseball bat? Where did he buy the baseball bat? Did he get it at Kmart or Walmart? You know, was it on special or was it, you know, did he have to pay the, you know, was it, you know, an early model so he paid extra or, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? It's not important. The important thing is what's done, what's the mentality and like that. So the mechanics are there to break things down. Does that make sense? Yes, so that we lose our attachment. Because when you break things down, it doesn't look as good as...
Yes.
Huh?
Is it combined?
Yes.
That's why I have that question. Because I understand it's not me doing it. Attachment.
Yes, means we're not... Basically, we're desiring. That's what it comes down to. But the point is that desire is enough. It's just like this. The baby is there and the baby wants to be picked up. Who does the picking up? Yeah, the mother picks up the baby, right? So is that important that, well, actually the baby can't do anything. The baby has to be picked up. So does that change the relationship? Does that change the experience? Yes, no. You don't know. So you push the fast forward button during the time when your children were small and then push the normal button when they grew up, so you don't know these things.
I don't know if I understood the question.
You don't know if you understood the question. Okay, so then first we have to get to the point of you understanding if you knew the question.
Yes.
Then we can go to the second point of the question itself. The point of the question is, does the baby has a relationship with the mother? Yes, no? We're good now, okay. Okay. Now, the interaction of the mother and the baby, it's a full interaction, yes? How much of that interaction is the baby doing? Sorry? Yes, but do they do anything else? They change their own diaper, they go into the kitchen, you know, arrange the bottle, you know, do all that kind of jazz.
No, they just cry.
Begun. Right? You understand? So, but because they're not doing anything, does it affect the relationship between the mother and the child? No. So therefore, we don't have to be in anxiety that the jiva is not actually doing anything, so then how can we have a proper relationship with the Lord? right? Because, you know, you could say one of your more intense relationships is with the mother and the child. And the child basically does nothing. Right? How you say? Yeah.
So because of our false ego as the controller and enjoyer, it becomes very boring when we realize that we're not actually doing it. And we think the relationship is gone.
Yeah, then we. Yeah, that's the whole thing, is we have these misconceptions. But the point is this kind of knowledge is only useful to get out of the material world. It's not what you apply in the spiritual world. Right? You don't have to apply that there. And even here, you apply it, since I'm not the one doing it anyway, that means I'm dependent upon the Lord. Because it's material nature's doing, but material nature has its sanction of the Lord. So that means I'm dependent upon the Lord. So that should enhance the relationship. But most of the time, as our concept of relationship is when I'm in control, now we're talking about a relationship.
Now it's happening.
Yeah. You know? If I'm controlling and I'm enjoying, then that's a relationship. I'm not controlling and enjoying, I don't want this relationship. Then you get anger after frustration that generates into hate.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Yes?
You also see it with the temple car.
The temple car.
That it's Krishna, so, you know, whoever, you don't really get involved with it, so because it's not mine, I'm not the controller of the car, so then...
No, but we don't mind using it.
We'll use it, but the oil doesn't get changed.
No. You can apply that to anything of Krishna.
Yes.
The shower knobs.
Yes.
Remember one temple I went to, the shower knobs are sitting on the counter. When you want to use them, then you put them on. You know, and then when
practical.
Yeah, and then you take them and put them there, because if you don't, they'll fall off anyway, and then you have to pick them off the floor, so therefore they put them on the side.
Just to make it easier for themselves.
Yes, to make it
In the early days, there were hot water taps were hacksawed off, so you couldn't use them.
Oh! Okay.
Only cold.
Yeah, we didn't have that, because we just had in the basement, we just had a hose. Yeah, so we didn't know where it connected to. That was controlled by the temple commander. So. But it was cold. Yes. Yes? Okay. Okay. So we stopped at the right amount of detail. Yes. Okay. Yes.
A question about analysis to break things down.
Yes.
Then you're supposed to get a realization of your dependence. Does that depend upon?
Does the dependence depend upon?
On your level of intelligence to be able to see that, or your association? Does it require other factors? Once you've analyzed,
or does it require other factors?
Yes.
And what are the possibilities? Other factors.
In conversation, as you analyze, I'm just thinking of the scenario of like a forensic examination. They put all the details there. They pull everything apart, and then somebody has a realization. So that means like that. Is it possible to do that?
I would go with the other factors. And that other factors might be options.
Mm. It's one big one.
Yes. We can start with one very large one.
Sufficient intelligence.
Okay, so a lot of intelligence. But if that was the case, then these nuclear physicists and that would have worked it out. But why can't they work it out?
Because Krishna's blocking it.
Okay, so Krishna's blocking it. So how does it work that they actually do understand?
They get higher intelligence?
They get higher intelligence, but where does that come from?
Krishna.
And because of?
Sincerity
applied through?
Intelligence. Endeavor?
Endeavor? Okay. Endeavor and intelligence, they go together, some bit. But when you combine some bit with Ladini, then you get... You get bhakti. Okay, so in other words, when hearing from authorized sources, we sincerely try to apply that, right? Then the Lord reveals himself. So the recommended process, one of them is analyzing, you know, what we've heard from the authorities, trying to apply it. So the analyzation is not just analyzing for fun. It's analyzing, well, how does this apply in my life? That's how you know the difference between when it gets too speculative and when it's devotional. Devotional means how to practically apply it, and where it becomes more speculative is when it's just interesting or fun. You know, therefore you get all these conversations. Well, what if? But what's the importance of what if? You know, what if you step out of the building and you're squashed by a, you know, 10-ton flying hamburger? You know,
is it a veggie burger?
Ah, now that's the thing. Now, is it a veggie burger or not? And if it's a veggie burger, is it organic or not organic?
You know, metric tons or imperial?
Ah, yes, imperial tons, metric tons. It makes a lot of difference. You know, like that.
What's the difference in another? I forget. Something another.
One's bigger.
Yeah, one's bigger. It's about a tenth. I think there's a tenth of something difference. And, you know what I'm saying? It's a veggie burger, and then, you know, what kind of bun is it? Is it a whole wheat, or is it a codicy bun? Because it's a codicy today, so you wouldn't want to be hit by a non-codicy burger on a codicy. And does that mean that it's flying? Does it have wings, or it has some other form of propulsion? You know, like that, or was it catapulted? There's some crazy kid that's got a very large catapult, and he catapults these burgers, you know, at his whim, you know. Or was it actually he planned and calculated and knew exactly when the class would do? He's been observing you for the last 3 months and knows how you work, so he knew exactly when to catapult this burger. You understand? So this is not useful. Yeah, so that's
fun.
Yeah, you know. So the more important thing would be, you know, if it's a vegetarian a codicy burger and it's a codicy today, then it's a matter of has it been offered or not. So whether we can eat it or not.
Then it starts to become.
Yeah, then it's practical.
Relevant.
Right? You know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it can't be a bucket of halibut because it's got to be, right?
Carrot halibut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But then you would have been squashed by the bucket, not by the halibut.
And that would just be sad.
Yes, yes. Yeah, he didn't even come in contact.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That would be tragic.
Yes, so therefore, yeah. Chapter 11, and then whether the burger, how did this burger stay together, flying through the air? Does that mean it was wrapped in that plastic wrap, you know, first, yeah, and then it was, you know, like that? So that means then, you know, it would still be fresh, you know. Like
yeah,
that, you
know, bamboo pole through it like hors d'oeuvres.
Yes, okay. Chapter 11, calculation of time from the atom. Oh, it's already done. Okay. So we got that far. We got that first time. Yes. Okay. Yeah, so now he's going to walk out.
There's a difference between mental speculation and philosophical speculation. Philosophical speculation can be used.
If that's how you're determining the two, then yes, if that's the terms Prabhupada uses. Otherwise, we call contemplation. You know, it's like if the senses are engaged for pleasing the Lord, it's called bhakti, or devotional service. The senses are engaged for pleasing ourselves, it's called sense gratification. So the action is the same. Contemplation is the same. Now, if you're using it not for Krishna consciousness, it's called speculation. When you're using it for Krishna consciousness, then it's given different terms. So I think in one purport we were reading that Prabhupada used philosophical speculation. So that's useful. So that's why we have to say. So many times you have to distinguish. Devotees don't always use philosophical speculation. It's mental speculation. Because it's just interesting. It would be, you know, it's fun to think about these things.
Mm-hmm. We're this philosophical speculation is based on Shastra.
It's based on Shastra, but for us, it should be based on what the Acharya is saying. You're trying to apply it in devotional service. We call that useful. Right? But if it's based on Shastra and not used for that, then we wouldn't call it useful. Otherwise, the impersonalists, they do that quite nicely. It's all Shastra.
That's the caveat.
Yeah. So it always comes back to devotional service, right? You know, the big other factor, you know, it always comes back to that.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki
Jai
Jai Nitai Gaura.